Hello, everybody.
I'm very pleasant honor to present today Professor Antonio Sadler, who is going to lead and to develop this workshop. I'm not presenting what the workshop would be about, because the professor will show you step by step. But I'm presenting Professor Sadler, who, by the way, is also my professor at university, supervisor during my PhD studies. Professor Sadler is an architect, professor, and holds at Sapienza University of Rome, the chair of architecture and information technology. He has been coordinator of the PhD program in architecture, theory, and design from 2001 to 2000. It's one of the oldest and most relevant PhD programs from 2001 to 2018. Professor Saggio has a very intense editorial activity. He has been editorial director of the International Book Series about the Information Technology Revolution in Architecture. He is the author of the book that we had the opportunity to translate also in Albanian, Architectura de Modernite, the books of this series have been translated in English by Brickenhouse, Chinese, Italian, and there have been 35 books published so far. And finally, personally, I'm really glad to have you again as every year so far.
Thank you. Thank you, Dean Ledian. And, well, we are going to... No, for now, no. We start in a little while. Probably we can start to turn this guy on.
Yes,
that's okay. No, I was thinking the light. And how can I say? I am also a very close friend of Polish University, that I know since year 2010, when it was still in the old building downtown, and my relationship with Dean Ledian Bregacy is older than that. He started to be with me in 2007, and then he passed lots of experience since then. But it's really my pleasure that basically the relationship between Polis and Bregacy and me started more or less simultaneously, and now it's 9 years, and a lot of things had happened to Ledian Bregacy, Professor Bregacy, not so much with me, more or less after a certain age. You start to remain stable. You don't accelerate that much so far. So you have to invent a way to accelerate. And that's why I decided to do a completely new lecture and workshop for you. That will be the first time that it's given. So that will be, I think, of some interest for you also. A little bit with Ledian. I will call him Ledian in an English fashion, it's okay? And with probably later another of our, let's say, formation group will join us. And also I'm extremely glad to have this group, people from the master course. Do we have some people of the fifth year? Are they very, very nice? And then we have also an important group from Ferrara. I'm correct? And my idea will be that what we are going to do will be of sense and of use for all the group. Everybody will catch what is more relevant at this different level. The group of Ferrara will probably are not aware of the book, Architecture and Modernity. If they want, they can see it in the library in the Italian. It's not 100% necessary, but of course in this case, the group from Albania has the, a little bit the advantage to have in their hands. But we are not following in any specific way the book. We are free to do something more open. As you know, or the, as you know, I don't know if you know, but basically the structure of this workshop is half theoretical and half, let's tell, between quote practical. And the two things are intertwined, and you cannot do the practical part if you are not really engaged in the theoretical part. And as many things in my life, I tend to create structures, and the structures are more or less, they are tested. When they work, I tend to repeat the structure, but I change the content. So the structure is basically the same structure that we tested the first time in 2011 with the work of Ferragni. And now we are using the same structure with just little adjustments, little things that are working better. But the structure basically is the same, but the content has changed very much. So for me, it's very thrilled to tell you the content, while for you it's not so very, very important. But for me, it's very important to tell you what is the content, because again, the content changed, each year changed so far, so we did 7 times, I think, this structure, but each time with a new topic. So, for me, it's exciting to tell you that we are working on Zaha Hadid. And so we spend this substantial amount of time on Zaha Hadid, and everything, our universe for these 2 days, will rotate about this figure that, of course, is an extremely relevant figure in the world of architecture. Is a very innovative figure, really a figure that broke new ground, and then we can say that new ground has a lot of meaning in her case. He broke new ground and is also symbolically a figure of relevance, first of all because he's a woman. And basically no other women get so much evidence and relevance in the world of architecture. In all time of architecture, there is not a figure that you can put close to her. So this is, will be something that will probably inspire a lot, a part of us. And of course, as terms of recognition, she had recognition in the field of architecture that cannot be compared with no other women. So she was the first one who got the Pritzker Prize, for example, the first one to get the Royal Academy title of Dame, etc., etc. I spent myself the last 4 days, more or less, working on Hadid, because I think in order to make in a good way this seminar and this workshop, I think it is important for me to study before, to restudy Hadid. And so this is what we're going to do, okay? Is that accepted? You like to do it? Yes, it's the same? No, you must have a little bit of enthusiasm, my dear. You cannot say it's not the same. Yeah, you must start with a little bit of pleasure to do it. Okay, so this is what we are going to do, and I hope to transmit this, the relevance of this. So we are working today until 5:30, 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock. So probably we will have a break of 10 minutes, something like that, more or less, in order to find new energy and kind of picking your level of attention. And probably, I don't know, we may even think to have two breaks. We will decide that. We will have so one theoretical part this afternoon. The second theoretical part will be tomorrow morning, and in the afternoon of tomorrow we will have half. Will be the preparation for your work as a workshop. And we finish the theoretical part. It will be a combination of the two. You will be working quite intensively since when we left on Saturday. I think around 5 again, no? Yeah. So that will be crucial hours from 5 to whatever time you have. And on Sunday during the morning, we will have a seminar and in which we will discuss the results and we'll present the results. Okay? So this will be the structure. The idea is to do something highly interesting for you, and I hope this we will succeed. Okay. All right. Now, for everything, we rely very much on the web. This will be the only way to achieve a certain level of results is to use efficiently the web. So all the material that I'm going to present is presented through the website. And this means that you can accede to this material later on. And for doing the seminar, or even when the workshop is finished, you can go back and see something or whatever, use whatever is there. So the web will be the main tool that I will present, and that is a kind of a little revolution, because I don't do it with the PowerPoint, I do directly on the web. The material is already there, already available to you. So, Google, it is basically our friends. Google is really a semi-god. He's the closest thing to God that man invented. And is absolutely frightened how many things Google knows. Try to do this exercise. I just discovered, this is the first time today that I discover something that really is frightening. I was doing the check-in. I need to do the check-in. And I checked where is the check-in of Alitalia. So I put in Google, check-in Alitalia. And what it appeared is really frightening. You know what it appeared? Just we check in Alitalia, appear, I don't know if here it will not do it, but in my computer will do, it appear my specific flight from Rome to Tirana. Just doing this in Google, but check in Alitalia. And not only that, it appeared the reservation number, PO, XR, or whatever, it appeared there. And even appear the information that you want to see the email that they sent. That was tell you how much these things are knowing. If you go in your Alitalia website, it doesn't know anything. It puts you 1 hour to do the check-in. So I use Google to do the check-in in the Alitalia thing because the information they were in Google. This is incredible. This is something that I just discovered. Yesterday night. It's the first time that I knew how much this is really close to God, in the good and in the bad, as God is, you know. It's same, exactly the same thing. So, now we use Google to access the information that we are interested in. And this is the only thing that you need to know. So, you have to remember, unfortunately, my name and spell it correctly. And if you do so, okay, he appears in, and he puts in the first level what we need to know. So it's my home. So just Antonino Saggio, home, and I wonder why in different nation gives me different numbers, different resultates. I'm more popular in Albania than in Italy, because in Italy I have only 400,000 entries. I don't know why in Albania, I know here are 200. I don't know, it's 1 million. I don't understand. We have to ask him. Anyway, you go there. And this is my website. Legend is a way to put the page a little smaller. I know how to do it in the Mac, but I'm sure they know. The student know. Should be a way to zoom in a little bit.
Control minus.
Okay, control minus. Okay, yes. Yeah, thank you very much. Okay. So, control minus or control plus. Okay. So, this is my website. The website is like 30 giga of information, because there is lots of things I keep in the website, basically almost 60 to 70% of my work, going from the thesis to the books, particularly to the to the lecture that I do. I'm just coming in Qatar, and so it's an important source of information. Many things are in also in PDF format. So, for example, for people coming from Ferrara, just to let you know that I was in Ravenna just a month and a half ago to speak about Zevi. What is an interesting tool that is inside the website is this one. So this is a local search. So if we put Legian Bregasi, here, we will get probably not less than 30 results, but I get more, 121 results. So that means that from looking at these things, you can see in how many occasions he did work with basically related to me. So you can see in where, for example, in the lecture, where I put some of your work. That is very interesting. And other things like that. So this is a local search. So it's 121. How many times did I mention Hadith? I have no idea. Just do a guess. I have no idea. Eh? 300 times. What do you think? Well, just have fun. That is the only scope. Eh? Okay, you know, I didn't get. Let's see, it will be interesting. So for my website, Legian Bregas is more popular than Zadid, which makes sense because everything is subjective. Okay, very interesting. But this will be, did I write it well though? Probably I write it wrong, let me see. Yeah, no, it's correct. Okay, so you can see even, for example, we made book on Zadid, the things, etc. But still, Legian Bregas is more popular than Zadid. It is interesting. Thing to play. Okay, now there is a formality that I think it is always very important, and always I care. I want that the people that is following this class are not only the only people that know, basically almost the only people that know that I will be dealing with Zadid, but particularly that will have access to all the material on Zadid. So what I create is a hidden link. I put a hidden link that will bring me to the specific section on Zadid, from which we start to lecture. So I hide a hidden link each time, and you must know where the hidden link is, otherwise you will not have the access to the material. The material is important to go on in whatever we are going to do. So I am a little static about it, but not that much. So the hidden link it is. So we move, as I told you, the website is pretty big. It's not in the news section. Is not in this section, our urban project. Is not in the PhD section. Is not in this section. Is in the section of books. Is in the section of books. And particularly, of course, is it in this book. But I'm a little more sadic that if I do click on this part of the book, he will go in something that relates in the blog, relates about the translation and other things of the book that we are not interested. In order to really go, we have to go in this section. So we have to click here, bold, and here we are. Okay? So you know the path now. You know how to go, and then we can start our actual lecture about Zadid. Okay, as I told you, this is the number 7 seminar and workshop. These are the seminars that we've done in the past. On Lusauer, on Terragni, I wrote a book on Terragni. On Sauer, I wrote a book on Sauer. On Eisman, I wrote a book on Simon, on Eisman. On Gehry, I wrote a book on Gehry. I did not write a book on Kahn. I did not write a book on Wright, and I did not write a book on Hadid. Of course, are present in the book as chapter in the book. But so I started with something that I knew quite well. And since I wrote monographs, etc. When you go there, if you are thrilled about any of these architects, you can go there and you can see everything that was created, everything that was related to the workshop about Terragni, and the old material that is there. And also there should be the audio and many other links. And in that particular case, you remember, we had also a little exhibit. The same thing with everybody else. The last one was last year on Frank Lloyd Wright. Same thing. Okay. Just as a curiosity, but to tell you that the web is really a way to create, to open this material to the student, to the scholar, and to really the people that take advantage of this. So for the large majority, this does not make any particular relevance, but there is few people that these things are really treasured, because it means that there are 8 hours or 9 hours almost of speech about any single of these that will go in real deep. So imagine that you are working for some reason and you really go deeper in some of these topics. These materials are important, can be very important. So for few, but can be very important. And this is more or less the way that I work. So we divide the work on Hadid in 5 chapters, and the 5 chapters are substantially chronological, but not 100% chronological, because if we are trapped too much by the chronological order, then we cannot grasp certain important issues. So the tendency is chronological in essence, but it's not strictly chronological. There is some overlapping. And each chapter has a title. The title for me in this particular case must be more imaginative, should help to focus on some issue, a kind of key issue So it's more related to the key issue that we are going to deal with, and we'll also will structure our exercise, our practical exercise. So the two things overlap. So the five sections that we are going to do is, one is called the incredible invention. Second is called the weak infrastructure. Number three, the dynamic city block. Number four, a new world. And number five, a parametric environment. I don't know if this, I changed these titles six or seven times. I can change more, we can change more if we can find better way to encapsulate what we're going to discover. But at this moment, this seems a reasonable way to frame it. Then there will be this with this strange name, scacchiere, that are the exercise that we are going to do together, and that will be the practical part of the workshop. We have this. This name, I use the Italian name, scacchiere, that are in English as chessboard. You are going to discover why I use this strange name. And these are the Albanian and the Brit and the Italian version. I asked the student of, I send that information, I think they get through, that it would have been a good idea to read the beginning part of the chapter in which I did this, but we are going also to develop that. But in order to understand I did a little bit, you have also to understand what Gary and Eisman are doing, and that in that particular moment why I did was so relevant, and what it was an invention basically, and what do I mean by that invention. And here there is some links that are already pre-formatted, so it's an easy way to look at the work of Adit. And of course it's the website, but probably even better is Architectural Daily and this Spanish site that is working very seriously also. So these are some sources that can be useful. In some cases we have also the Google Map location, so that will help. Okay. Allora, please write here your print your name just your name imprinted so I can understand. And then within parentheses you write Albert Ferrara, Master or 5th year. These are the three families, right?
PhD.
And a longer PhD.
But
for me you are in the same family. So it will be Ferrara boys. You belong to the same mental group. Okay. Okie dokie. Okay. Of course, make questions on whatever you, more or less whatever you want. It would be nice to interact not only later but also during the conversation and the lecture. Okay, so we are warm enough? Ah, yes. Allora possiamo spegnere forse la luce. Yes, grazie, Lelian. Okay, what the hell is this, I said it. What is this this incredible invention I'm talking about? Let's try to understand how this whole thing happened and what we are going to talk, etc. I left this audio because later on, if I can, I will put the audio. I'm recording at the same time. Okay. Okay, allora, so I think this is a good beginning. I thought that looking at picture, etc., was so heated by this picture, and I think it's a very good picture at the end to tell the beginning what we are interested, what we're interested to know. So Zahavid is born in 1950 in Iraq, in the capital, Baghdad. She's coming from a family that is well established in Iraq. The mother was belonging to the aristocracy and was an artist, and the father was an entrepreneur, quite successful entrepreneur, and also another aspect that is important. The father of Zahavid was involved in the process of trying to advance democracy in Iraq. So we can imagine an important family, a very well established family, and a kid that you, just looking at their face, you can imagine that you see the sign of a very very strong curiosity and intelligence. I think the curiosity is always such an important component of whatever we do. Without curiosity, we don't go too far. And it's very strange. I start to think that the availability of the newer generation with media, with information, with computer, etc., in some way create less curiosity in the newer generation. This is a very strange process, but teaching, I kind of feel that. So it's a strange process that when, in a way, it was more difficult to access information, although, you know, in the 1955, you already think that you are in a complete future, of course, you know. But anyway, the sensation I had the previous generation had a little more curiosity than our generation. And this presence of the easiness through which we can get information will decrease the actual force of curiosity. So don't forget that curiosity is the key ingredient, is absolutely a key ingredient to our being in the world. And that is important. So, in order, since we are curious, I did not have time because I wanted to, I spent time with the dean, with legend, etc., but there came a curiosity to me. I said, okay, this image, but how Baghdad was looking like in the 50s? And I had this curiosity. I think, what was this type of city? So now that we have these media, we can ask. Bad? Is that correct? No? Okay, let's do it like that. Let's keep working. Okay, you know, like that. So, it's not weather. I want to look at what it look in the 50s. If we have an image, we want to see some images of the Baghdad in the 50s. Let's do 1955. Let's see. Do we have a picture of Baghdad in that moment? This is an important work by Joseph Louis Sert. So, we know that the American Bastille was done by Jose Luis Sert. And it's not only, there are other ambassadors that were done in different places like that. So we know that there evidently was an effort to kind of start to improve, you know, the environmental scene from that. He was a king at that moment. All right. Probably he was half Victoria Royal and half opening, like all of that, like the Shao Fertial, things like that. So it would be interesting to know. Oh, let's put another date. Let's say 1958. Okay. So there were problems. So the Iraq Revolution already started around 58. In fact, if I recall well, they have to emigrate. They emigrate. The family emigrate at a certain moment, probably at cause of this thing. So we'll be interested that some of you will have a little more curiosity of me, and then have just few images of what the type of environment physically the little Adid was living. As you are going to see, this will be quite important. Now you think that it's only playing, but it's not playing. Will be very interesting to try to imagine that. So what we know is that Zaha Hadid didn't go to architectural school first. She went to math, to mathematical. And so her studies are started in math. She had a bachelor in math studying abroad, I think if I remember well, in Switzerland or something like that. And she had this degree in math. Very, very interesting. It's a very interesting detail that will have, that will make sense much later on. And that particular moment you think, okay, but probably she lost time. She lost time in studying mathematical. Why she studied math? It's just a loss of time. But we discover that as many things in life get sense at later on, at a much higher level. Anyway, her official career started in 1972 when she engaged the Architectural Association in London. Now, the Architectural Association in London is a very interesting and very peculiar school. There is a one component in architectural association that is more similar of a club than a real school as you think. That is a private institution, first of all. It's rather small, and there is some way to operate that in some way let me think a little bit of a club more than a formal school. And that still remain active today after so many years. The Architectural Association was the institution being private, likely or a little bit related to directly to the Institute of Architects, but with a very large independence. And then just try to understand something that is inconceivable for an Italian. The head of the school of the architectural association is elected by everybody that belongs to the club. That means that the cleaning people have a vote, as well as the student has vote, as well as the teacher has vote, and are the same. And basically the person that's going to be elected as director must be convincing to the whole body, going from the cleaning people to the student, to the faculty. I don't know any other school that has that kind of thing. And as you probably know, a woman gets elected now. I think it's the first woman that is now head of the Architectural Association. Well, anyway, when the 20 years old Zaha enjoyed the Architectural Association, the Architectural Association has a head, this peculiar person, very strong intellectual and very strong educator, and not many people know about him, but basically he was the father of a whole generation of architects that will become the leading architects of the 80s and 90s. So he was the father, of course, of David, of course, of Rempoas, of Tumi, and many others. What was the key aspect of his teaching that, not only his teaching, but his directing the school, was the idea, was a strong idea to move the architecture from a body that is substantially functional, so substantially related to the practical aspect of construction and of function, and of course that makes sense historically and makes sense also because they tie with the profession, to a completely different way to approach. So architecture was approached as a critical discourse. That is the key words. That means architecture was taught as part of an intellectual engagement that on one side put architecture to the same rank of in a way philosophy or art, and on the other side he interrogates architecture concerning the relationship with these other aspects, mainly art and mainly philosophy, but later on also science, with the idea that you don't go directly from knowledge to results. That was the old idea. I give you some information, I will structure some information, you got some results. But to do making a critical discourse is making that the path is not linear. It's break that linearity, but went around touching other disciplines. And those disciplines will become part of the architectural discourse. So this idea and this keyword, architectural discourse, is an important keyword to understand what's going on. And I think it's the first keyword that we can start to have in mind. So if we don't understand this breaking point, we really don't understand what's going on. Why this generation changed so much the coordinates? And the coordinates are not formal. I mean, they become formal as the end of the cycle, but they are not cause-effect. There is not a cause-effect process. It's a more complex process. And architectural discourse means that architecture finds, on a way, finds its own autonomy from practical issues, and from the other part, it relates with other disciplines, mainly philosophy, art, and later on science. This does not mean that architecture arrived to be practical, of course, but it's not a cause-effect process.
taking from program to knowledge to solution, but in some way the solution comes from a complex diagram of issues and forces. And people are educated not more to do this, but to do this. So it's a really a revolution in a way. So that means that there are courses, people, and a whole process of education that is different. The only thing is that this process that is new to some school even today, they started to do that in 1970, in the 1970s, and now already in 1972, 1973, and so on. So, in one moment in which the overall architecture was, as an overall, was very much as a main course, was basically still functionalist. There were very few architects that started to work on that idea, and the main one was Peter Eisman, basically. That's why Peter Eisman, in one way, is considered also a kind of a father of this type of thinking, and also a relationship, as a kind of relationship with Boyarsky. And since we are all curious, maybe one night we want to see this video that I did not link. Qui è control per copiare, no? Control C, no? Okay. Okay. E control V? No, però non me lo fa, me lo fa là, invece lo voglio fare qua, ok. Ok, va bene. I found this video that is pretty spectacular. Okay, here it is. Since we are curious, it's very interesting to see the faces and the way that these people speak and when they were speaking. Ah, okay. Non, mi sa che non l'abbiamo l'audio aiuto. Qua? Ah, ok. Proprio per niente. Ah, peccato. Anyway, this is a, you can see it. It's a very interesting conversation between Boyarsky and Peter Eisman, and from which I really understood the central of this way to put you the thing. So this way to put in the thing, if you look at the book, that was not there, was not an element that was clear to me, or probably could not have the space in the book anyway. But this really became very clear by this video. So this material becomes so interesting. So it's not important what they're saying, except if you have to do a specific discourse. But this is interesting, I think, quite rather interesting. Okay, so Zaha did kind of plunged in this environment. In the London of the 70s is not the London that we know today. It's a smoggy, heavy, complex town. There is not that still the industry was so present, and it's not the type of city that we experiment today. Although the Architectural Association is located in it's always in the same area, that is the same the area close to the British Museum. Let's see if they allow us to see, because to see the place is also interesting. Okay, this is Google, no? Okay. It's this building.
So it's, it is in an area that is, okay. It is an area that is a very nice area of the city, very close to the British Museum, and is the area characterized by the Russell family, that is important from Bernard Russell, that was basically, hanno lottizzato I Russell tutta questa parte, and is still there, basically. So the thing did not change. Okay, so this is Bogarowski, and the younger did place in this new environment with this idea of the discourse that is the intellectual discourse as this new way of thinking. And this is a picture of many years later, and Bogarowski is showing, if I am correct, yeah, I'm pretty sure that he's showing the model of Adid of the peak house. Actually, what he's showing is your scacchiere, what you are going to do it on Sunday. You are not going to do something very different to that one. You will discover how. Anyway, the other crucial meeting at the Architectural Association was the figure of Rancolas. He was older than Adid, and he was a teacher. But of course, in this type of club, that's why I use this word, the differences between teacher and master student, etc., are not that big. You know, you get together more in terms of quality than in terms of role. I will put it in this way. So the figure of Colas is a key figure from the intellectual point of view. Because, you know, Rancolas had, he started already since the 60s in discovering this not well-known Dutch painter that was called Constant. Constant was his name of art. And Constant, through the seal of art, he made kind of a hybrid between architecture and art and urban. He kind of created a huge painting, a huge model with this idea of New Babylon was called. It was an idea of a city that was based on movement, was based on erratic movement, was based on pleasure, was based on completely different issues than the traditional functionalist city. So Constant, write it the name, is an important figure in the idea that Colas start to put together. But on the other side, it really starts to go deeper in the contradiction, in a way. That is an attitude that Colas still had, kind of revolving the contradiction of the society in values for a new type of architecture. And going in the contradiction sometimes was meaning almost having a cynic attitude. But anyway, he's a key, absolutely a key figure. Also, he was a journalist. And so that easy of work in the different area, all bridging together, he was a kind of prototype, exactly a prototype of that type of idea of that we called the architectural discourse, because it exactly was putting together things that were all heterogeneous. Was heterogeneous. And he wrote this very key book about New York in 1977 that was exactly a way to look the city and the contradiction of the city a completely new way, unexpected way. So in a way, Colas
was really a champion of this, and of course he looked a lot of Constant, and he wrote both as a journalist and as a writer. The key book is called Delirious New York, from 1977. But you cannot understand that if you don't understand this as a generation of this. It's a completely new way of approaching these issues. Now, Hollis, as you know, created a group, an operating group, that was called OMA, Office Metropolitan Architecture. And Zaha already joined the group, was part of the group as a young talent of the group. So this person from Iraq arriving through Mac to architecture with a important talent per se, but basically was inserted in this kind of new way, new machine, new way of thinking. But this is something that is important that you understand. We are talking of a small island. We are talking all this. We say that it's something that is 1%. 2% of the world of architecture, in the 70s. In the 70s, architecture was, for a large part, already influenced by postmodernism. Charles Jenks wrote in 1977, his key book on postmodern architecture. Later on, in 1980, Paolo Portoghesi made an important biennale, I censored, La figura del passato, La memoria del passato, something like that, I censored. La memoria del passato, qualcosa del genere, in cui ha fatto questa strana novissima in the biennale. Then there was another part that was probably less important than that, that was kind of new functionalism, I would call it, very interested in participatory issues, okay, like helping the camp, etc. The main force was kind of postmodernism. There was a kind of deathbed, and the thing of the people that were doing this kind of thinking, they were a tiny minority. It's a very tiny minority. Basically, Architectural Association and EICMA, not even all New York Five, were really EICMA. So it's a small group, was a really a big minority. And the trend was going in a completely different direction, in a completely different direction. So if you think, this is very interesting to think, but because you don't always have to be on the main wave, you know, you can also be in a secondary wave, and then instead things may change dramatically, change for the best. But anyway, so she engaged with this office, OMA, Office of Metropolitan Architecture, with Collis, and she was engaged with that until 1980. If I recall well, she graduated in 1977 from Architectural Association. And from 1977 to the next 5 or 6 years, basically
the amount of work that she put on her shoulder is just unbelievable. But which makes sense, because when you are young, you're supposed to work a lot. You have more energy. But basically, she really worked a lot. She basically was teaching during the day and designing and painting and drawing, etc., during the night. So that is a kind of an important phase of acceleration. Okay? Are there any questions? Tutto chiaro? Ok. Mi date il foglietto? Non vi preoccupate, non sono dopo sempre. Stavo dicendo, no, ho avuto una cosa, però poi mi metto. Però adesso in questo momento purtroppo ho preso una grave storta, per cui tossico. Normalmente non tossico, perché non si tengo a specificare. Normally I'm not leaning, just now, ok? Just a temporary fact, it's not permanent. Ok. Adil was also a painter, a talented painter, beautiful. If you ever seen any of his painting by light, you really remain shocked. I think one thing that really creates a lot of admiration is to think that it MoMA, New York, that means the most important museum of modern art, have an Adil painting. Ah! Okay. Here. Just to tell you, it's close to Rousseau. The nice painter, no? It's pretty an achievement, let me tell you. Anyway, so she always paint, and also she was attracted by something that in reality was not in the main course of architecture. This is something that you have also to understand. The main course of architecture can be, let's say, the functionalistic line, that means Le Corbusier, Gropius, Mies van der Rohe, just make a line, or, let's say, the organic path with right in the center. And generally, the architects in the 60s and 70s in England, they were creating a style that was called the brutalism. So the architecture was kind of presenting itself with some level of brutality, particularly in the use of concrete, etc. So when she started looking under constructivism, was not something that was in the world of everybody. It's something a little bit hidden, quite hidden. What is the constructivism? The constructivism is a movement in the Russia, in the revolutionary Russia, so basically from the 10 to the late 20s, that in a way was creating an extreme process that the function become aesthetic value, let's put it like this. the architecture become similar of a machine, but not only from the practical point of view, but also from the aesthetic point of view. So it was a kind of the beauty of the machine. But that was extreme. Why it was extreme? Simple, because they were half painter, half architect. There was an hybrid. And so, in a way, that so important aesthetic feeling was very important for a painter like I did, that in a way discover that. So discover something that was, of course, was there, but it was, you know, was not in the mouth of everybody. So this even Colas at the end did not work a lot with that, but she did. So she started to look with a lot of attention to this machine, because they were basically look what they were. They were basically like piece of machinery, right? They are basically piece of machinery transformed in architecture. And so she made okay, this is a beautiful little parenthesis. With my students, these are the people that are going to graduate. Relax now, no concept. The concept will arrive in 1 second. Now, in terms of concept, we had enough. Now we relax a few seconds. With the students that graduate with me, I have a lab. And sometimes I may ask them, you guys, who is Giuseppe Verragni? And I see in their face blank. And I say, how you could not know who is Giuseppe Verragni? Your professor even wrote a very important book on Verragni, and you did not know anything about Giuseppe Verragni? Then I create special assignment for them. So, like, study a detail of Verragni thing and write a blog. Same thing with other, which this is something that was not happening at your time, no? We never did. This is a new invention, so you know that. So we create a series of blogs. This is just to relax, eh? Don't worry. Okay. We created a translate. No, we don't want to translate. We create a list, a series of blogs that are hidden here. Okay, they are all hidden here. The first time that I discovered that was that they did not know anything about Cesare Cattaneo, and that made me crazy because it was an important exhibit about Cattaneo. So what they did, I asked them, go there, discover one detail, of any detail that you think that is important, and write a little essay about that. And this is basically a collection of these essays are about Cattaneo. And with this technique, going through detail, not going through the overall, is a very interesting technique to kind of push. Because I discovered that I have to push the curiosity in a way. I have to create the curiosity. Otherwise, you know, even if they're good or whatever, they don't have curiosity. So the exhibition is just there. They don't know. They don't see. So we did a series of this. We did on Ferragni. We did about this important exhibition. We did about Alessandro Anselmi. We did about UN Studio. And again, we did on Zadig. Because in Rome, it was this very important, very, very beautiful and important exhibition about Hadid. And I said, but why are we crazy? We have this exhibition there, you don't go to the exhibition. So I create this thing. So, going back, that image, and now what happened is that some of these, not all, but some of them are extremely intelligent. because they are really go deeper in one detail. This particular guy, for example, was doing something about the mask and the old mask that is represented by this object and certain things of Adit. And well, other works on other aspects, etc. Other works, and this particular one that is a good photographer made a wonderful work. I don't even remember from that time. Now that I rediscover, I understand how beautiful it is, because she did that, a beautiful picture about talking about the code, etc. But the most amazing part that she did is this. She found the correlation between some painting of Malevich and some of architecture of Adit. So these are on the right, Malevich, a constructivist painter, and these some pictures of Adit, of the Adit building. And I think nobody ever done this work, and it's a fascinating work, because you really think there is a proof of this, and I think this couple are fantastic couples of images, and the intuition is so good. This thing was not in the show, was not in the show at all. There was the show, probably some of these pictures that were done by a photographer, but I think this is a really superior work, completely original and very interesting. So, okay. You understand why now the links are important, because you see, bon, here you are, I already prepared the link for you if you want to go back. So anyway, now let's follow the main path. So, as a painter, she kind of, as a painter Adit, was interested in the constructivist movement, because on one side had that aesthetic of machine, the machine become an aesthetic, the pieces, they seem to almost send a sound, you know. If you look at this for 5 seconds like this, after a while the sounds will come out. Just start, and after a while the sound come out. It seems the sound of the city, the sound of machinery, you know. They are not silent. And so she was fascinated by this. But try to understand, these are made basically objects on a plate, right? They are objects like a piece of machinery, you know, you feel that are objects on a plane, right? Like pieces of machinery. This will be an important thing to go. There is this page of the book, I put only the Albanian page, because like that you can see, you can go easy to the page if you want to know. It's not difficult to find in the Italian version, but basically. So her thesis was called Malevich Tectonics, and you will see here how strong the aesthetic. Okay. How strong the aesthetic was. This is just one drawing. You can see the painting. You can see the big originality and probably the thing. And then a theme that Zaha did followed many she did many times this theme of the inhabited bridge, right? The inhabited bridge, like this is one, it is something that she was thinking and thinking until she really built an inhabited bridge in Saragossa, which was quite successful. Anyway, if you look at this, you will understand. When we do the scacchiere, you understand it more later on what is this exercise, even the formal approach that she's using, I did not study the thing in attention, but I tend to think that either these are intended actually as being pieces of the overall thing, like the pieces exploded. I don't know if they are really there in the design, or will be just a kind of a memory of the operation. But since we are many, I suppose that some of you can look better at this thesis, to know better what it is. Just we have a deep marriage things probably that is already on the web, or probably in some monographs in the library we can see more. Probably we have the croquis, probably that there is something, but anyway, will be interesting. So, but this is not the incredible invention. Will not go with the word incredible invention. Because this is really belonging to that kind of the architectural discourse, having that kind of OMA approach that architecture is something always speaking to an urban level, it is evident, even from the way that it is drawn, the presence of taxonometrics that was so important, and even the old feeling, we are not talking only of architecture, we are talking of something that's urban in its own nature. And there is this idea to find something that is moved in the space in the past to rediscover the constructivist, but it's not something you can say an incredible invention, right? It's not. It's pretty beautiful, but it's not an incredible invention. I call the chapter The Incredible Invention. So, where is the incredible invention? It's not when she did the thesis. We start to understand here, but is this project is called the Peak Leisure Club. This project of 1982-1983 is what we say the incredible invention, because I did on all these things, made another jump, boom! And she really invented something that is was not known, like, you know, it's a different approach, a different way to look at things. And this happened really after all these years of a lot of work, a lot of engagement. At the end, with this project really signed this jump. And it's really the incredible invention. What is the incredible invention? In the book it's explained pretty well, so if you've read, you know. But let's assume that not everybody knows the book. So you have to do a little recap. To understand. Everything has to do in a way with an understanding of the context in which architecture puts itself. And the concept is physical as at the same time as mental. Okay. Le Corbusier in the 20s and later on made one important step, a revolutionary step, concerning the closed path of the 19th century architecture. The 19th century architecture was basically based on the concept of the Rue Corridor, of the belonging, of the urban morphology, of urban typology, like creating one thing. And Le Corbusier that attacked this problem from all points of view, from the hygienic, from the functional, etc., he said, we have to go in a disengagement. The building, since they are piece of machinery, they must be independent from the ground. The Rue Corridor does not exist anymore. The building in some way are objects that are placed on the ground following rules that on one side are functional rules, sun, air, distance from one another, independence of circulations, all things that are shown in this place, and from the poetic point of view, in some way they resemble something in the past that he always loved, like the Piazza dei Miracoli di Pisa, or in some way the Acropoli, that in some way this object, this pure object, they speak to each other, they send sounds to each other. So it's a world of independent object placed on a surface, and this placement is based on functional and hygienical as well as aesthetic thing. This is the base of what we call the modernism. And these concepts are embodied in the Chart of Athens, no? In the principle of the new architecture. Around these principles, basically a lot of architecture was built. In the 80s, that idea of the context start to be attacked from different points of view. One way to attack it was the concept that Eisman had. Eisman had the concept of palimpsest. What does it mean? Mean that architecture is relayed on a series of layers that are also historical layers in a way, and it basically belongs to a complexity of layers dealing with the past as well with the present. So he made a key project with that idea, that is the IBA project in Berlin. But later on he made many others. So that is his way to going against Le Corbusier, to change Le Corbusier. The other important idea was that one of Frank Gehry, and he said the context that you are dealing with is the concept of the periphery, the concept of informality, the concept that pop art taught to us, you know, that to open our eyes not only towards the high, the formalistic, but also looking down, basically, the reality of informality of the environment. And he called that the cheapscape. So the cheapscape, that is the removed world of the periphery, of the material, of the certain kind of informality that was taught through the pop art, became an important thing for Gehry. So the idea of Le Corbusier was already attacked, at least from this two parts. And then it was the main way to look at this issue that was the postmodern issue. The postmodern issue was kind of using memory, using kind of mimetic of the old architecture. No? So there were different ways to deal with the relationship between architecture and context. And Adid made in this project another approach that is really important and really revolutionary. The idea has a different name. One is landform. The other is the blurring of the difference between figure and ground. The other, that probably is the most effective, is that the rule that creates the ground are the same rule that creates architecture. So the rule that creates the ground and the rule that creates architecture, they are mixed. They are together. There is no more a difference. This is nothing more far as this one to the image of Le Corbusier that we saw before. Where is it? From this to this, this completely opposite approach. Completely opposite approach. In one case, there are pure volume on the ground. In this idea, is that the rule that creates the ground are the rule that are used in making the architecture. There is no more a big difference, and they are a continual interwing. And that is a completely new idea. So, we may call it in different ways, using different formula. Again, landform is a way to call this. The other way to call this is use the no difference. Between figure and ground. And then there are other ways, but it's just to call it, but it's the same concept. So this is really something new. Nobody has thought about that. And it's coming from a very, very, very peculiar combination of things. If you look at the singular ingredients, you never expect that they will come in together in this way. But they came together. Because clearly there is a continuous looking at painting. Painting for Hadid is a way to imagine a mental landscape before things exist. So painting is a program of architecture in a way. It's an experimental program. So probably this idea came from painting, probably. But surely it dragged in itself the constructivist attitude also. So the experience of looking at those objects became important, but became something else. It seems like that architecture, in that case, become a kind of infrastructure. We are going to talk about that in one second. And clearly, this approach can be done only if you look at architecture through an urban level. That's why the whole experience of working at OMA and working with OMA is fundamental. It's the Office for Metropolitan Architecture. You don't see architecture as a singular object, but the way to look always as an urban artifact. So here is why we gave the name to this chapter, The Incredible Invention. So because we are still in 1983, we are still in a graph that is not much different from that one that I show, just that the postmodernist was absolutely the winning factor in world architecture. So the architecture of Michael Graves, of Philip Johnson, or Robert Stern is really what he was not Steinberg. Okay. So these are the type of things that were dominating in that moment, no? Or so this was a very minoritary, again, Michael Graves. Okay. Boom. These are the type of things, no? That were kind of dominating the architectural scene. Completely different world, of course, no? So you have to understand that this was a minoritary, very minoritarian thing in 1983, but she won the competition. Would be interesting to understand, we can ask, we can, some of you can do this research. Who was in the jury of the peak 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 club of the peak club project? That would be interesting to know. Because surely it will happen through that. Okay? Okay, so let's see what else we have. Okay, so land form, in a way, will appear as a kind of weaving. The weaving is an important aspect of this idea, you know? It's like the weaving, and like this person from Iraq has the weaving, probably, who knows, in her mind, in her memory, who knows. And this is a very famous, painting by Paul Klee, and again, Paul Klee in 1929 seems to anticipate some of the concepts there. And these are some of the painting that in which this idea of the landform becomes so strong and so idea. These are the part of the book that in which I speak about that. Okay. Okay, are there questions or some comments that you'd like to do on this part? For one reason or the other, you are very welcome. Edward Balla, Master Parametric, dove sei? Any comment? Any question?
No, no, I don't have any comment.
It's pretty clear?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you read the book already or not?
Just a part of it.
Just this part?
Yes.
Okay. Have you followed the class of Professor Sotiri Damo or not?
No.
No, okay. How advanced are you in parametric? Because this is a very important question for me.
This is the second year of master here.
So okay.
We already had last year with fresh one, right?
So you can surely modeling for sure, and also use some parametric. That would be very important to know for me. Okay, so I will take, let's say, a break until 4 o'clock, and then we do the second part, okay? Penso sempre che il tempo sia troppo, invece è troppo poco. Eh? È passa molto veloce, perché facciamo due parti, andiamo a fare cinque, quindi anche se facciamo la seconda per oggi, poi in realtà il tempo è giusto.